Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, April 22nd. Locals expressed worries about constitutional carry. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Editor's note: the Reporter Telegram looks at constitutional carry through the eyes of those who oppose current legislation. In a future edition, those who support the legislation provide their side. The Texas Senate doesn't appear to currently have the votes to pass permitless carry of handguns, or constitutional carry as it is known, and that is okay with some. Midland Police Chief Seth Herman is one who will be fine if constitutional carry again fails to get through the legislature. He told a Reporter Telegram this week his opposition is because constitutional carry doesn't consider the training needed to responsibly carry around a weapon, and that the untrained then can't address threats to the populace. Herman says there really isn't anything wrong with the status quo, which includes those who want to carry to obtain a concealed handgun permit. He said this week a person has to obtain a license to obtain a 2,000-pound bullet and automobile, and that there should be a process in place to carry a weapon. Quote, one of the greatest responsibilities that he believes requires a more stringent process, end quote. Herman said his stance on constitutional carry is his opinion and doesn't represent the stance of the Midland Police Department. He also is not for denying anyone their Second Amendment rights. Haas Duggar of Absolute Training in Odessa has held a Texas license to carry since 2006, is Texas DPS Certified License to Carry Instructor, and is a lifetime handgun and rifle shooter, hunter, and gun rights advocate, according to the Absolute Training website. He told the Reporter Telegram he has taken, quote, a lot of flack, unquote, for his opposition to constitutional carry legislation. However, he says he sees the untrained in his weekly classes and that the general citizenry should prove that they know, quote, how the thing works, end quote. He referenced the church at a white settlement where Jack Wilson hit a moving target at 50 feet because he was trained. He says he wants a person in a similar situation to hit the perpetrator and not the person next to him. He stated that no matter the circumstance, a person is responsible for the impact of the bullet fired from a weapon, and that if a person misses, he or she is in, quote, deep doo-doo, unquote, and that gun ownership is about, quote, safety, 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 end quote. Quote, your good intentions can get you locked up, Duggar said. Duggar has no appetite for intrusive gun laws, but he also said while the Second Amendment gives a person a right to bear arms, that the Tenth Amendment provides their right to states to govern how they are carried, end quote. Herman also says, quote, you can't send a bullet back once fired, and that other police chiefs believe constitutional carry is a big deal. And the discussion with Herman always came back to training, including that even with a weapon, they are not adequately prepared for the worst-case scenario. Television station KXAN out of Austin reported this week that several police associations met at the Texas Capitol to protest bills eliminating the need for permits. Quote, citizens would not have to demonstrate proficiency with the firearm or even basic awareness of firearm safety, said the Texas Police Chiefs Association in the KXAN report. Continuing the quote, at least with a license to carry permit, citizens must demonstrate basic knowledge and an awareness of the laws, end quote. Quote, it is the element of the unknown and the untrained that concern us, Herman said. I don't see what is wrong with current laws, end quote. Midland County Sheriff David Kreiner stated he respectfully declined to comment on the topic, quote, "As a law enforcement officer, it is my duty to uphold the laws of the state of Texas," end quote. DPS seeking new information in 12-year-old Midland cold case. The story was written by Caitlin Randall. The Texas Department of Public Safety premiered the first episode of a new YouTube show called Cold Case Investigations of the Texas Rangers, which was created to bring attention to unsolved cases in Midland, Odessa, and the surrounding region. A missing persons case, and later a suspected homicide, was the subject of the series premiere on Tuesday. On April 5, 2009, Pamela McDonald, age 39, was reported missing by her husband, Charles McDonald. She was last seen leaving her residence in South Midland County 3 days earlier. Her silver Lincoln Town Car was found in a rest area parking lot at mile marker 70 on Interstate 20 near Monahans. After an investigation, the Texas Rangers determined that the vehicle had been at the rest area since April 4th. In January of 2012, the Upton County Sheriff's Office was called to an oil field location north of Rankin, where human remains were discovered. Through the use of forensic anthropology, the remains were identified as Pamela McDonald. DPS Sergeant Oscar Villarreal asked anyone with information on McDonald's disappearance to contact the Texas Rangers at 1-800-346-3243. The mother of three is believed to have left her home at 1 a.m. on April 2nd, according to news reports from the time of her disappearance. Authorities said she told her family she was going for one last drive before her car was set to be repossessed the next day. The family was experiencing financial difficulties in the 3 months before McDonald's disappearance, late Midland County Sheriff Gary Painter told reporters in 2009. Her car, which had a large tiger sticker on the back window and a Texas license plate, was locked with no keys inside or near the vehicle when it was discovered by authorities. The vehicle also did not appear to have any apparent mechanical difficulties. Quote, "It just looks like whoever stepped out of the car vanished," Painter said at the time. The stay-at-home mom reportedly enjoyed going on late-night drives after her elementary-aged children were asleep, but her oldest daughter told authorities it was out of character for McDonald to not come home. There was no activity on her cell phone before her disappearance, and McDonald was not on any prescriptions or medications that might have caused her disappearance. Her husband, Charles McDonald, is the only suspect in the investigation, according to case details on DPS's website. No arrests have been made. New 3-minute episodes of Cold Case Investigations will be available for streaming on DPS's and DRB Media's YouTube and Facebook pages every month, Villarreal said. The show was inspired by the success of series like Unsolved Mysteries and other true crime shows and bringing attention to cold cases and unearthing new details. Addressing issues, Peyton Hoven to highlight Mayor's Forum. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Midland Mayor Patrick Peyton and Odessa Mayor Javier Hoven will participate in a conversation with the mayors at 7 p.m. Thursday at the Rolling Sevens Ranch Event Center, 11,700 West County Road 122, inside Midland County. The free event is sponsored by Midland Liberty Leadership Council, which was created, quote, "to foster meaningful relationships among young professionals between the ages of 21 and 40 who share the values of individual liberty, personal responsibility, and free enterprise, and to engage these individuals in the mission of the Texas Public Policy Foundation," end quote. The mayors will address issues having to do with future planning and ways the two cities can work better together. Peyton says he also wants to address the new reality with oil and gas in Midland and what the industry is looking like. He also said he wants to remind people from Midland and Odessa of the multiple issues brought about because of the immigration problems and the migrant camps, including the one inside Midland County. Hovind said Midland and Odessa are like a tale of two cities, and there are different styles in the people they elect. He said both communities want low taxes, good, well-lit roads, and quality water, and that they also want to see government do work for the people. Quote, people need to tune in to the forum to be reassured that they have principled men steering the ship, Hovind said of the forum. We will make it interesting, end quote. Peyton added, quote, a conversation with the mayors is a chance for the two mayors to talk to a growing demographic in Midland, the 30-somethings. He talked about the importance that the 30-somethings become active and being ready to take over when they feel ready to lead in the community. If you want to watch, A Conversation with the Mayors, when, 7 p.m. Thursday, where, Rolling Sevens Ranch Event Center, 11700 West County Road 122, inside Midland County. Live streamed on MRT.com, the Reporter-Telegram Facebook page, and the Texas Public Policy Foundation Facebook page.
Hello, this is Michael, reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, continuing with the inside pages, published Thursday, April 22nd. Pickwick players bring classic fairy tales to life, from staff reports. From Sleeping Beauty to the Big Bad Wolf, the Pickwick players are bringing the treasured collection of fairy tales to life, with stunning sets and even shadow puppetry. The magical world of the Brothers Grimm opens Friday in the Davis Theater 1 at 2000 West Wadley and continues through May 2nd. The production takes theatergoers on a journey into the woods where he or she will encounter many of the classic and recognizable characters such as Little Red Riding Hood, Sleeping Beauty, and even Hansel and Gretel. The segue between each tale is done in the form of choreographed movement and lighting, giving the audience a sense of time and travel through space. Costume designer Crystal Wilkerson-Diaz was excited by the prospect of a show with so many moving parts, as well as each of the cast's dedication and willingness to think outside the bubble of traditional shows. It's very rare to see actors have the ability and openness to transform into so many complete characters on stage in such a short amount of time, Wilkerson-Diaz said. It is especially rare in actors that are so young. The play's classic stories, combined with more modern elements, are what drew director Bill Williams to the script. I still see the value of fairy tales and the way we communicate life lessons through storytelling. Williams said casting shows during the pandemic has presented its own challenges. Every show has been double cast, but Williams said the Pickwick players have risen to the occasion. I've been really happy to the real growth in each student that has participated in the show. Fairy tales are eternal, Williams added. The message is always relevant, whether you're one or 100 years old. If You Go, The Magical World of the Brothers Grimm. When? Friday through Sunday, April 22nd through May 2nd. Where? Davis Theater 1, Midland Community Theater, 2000 West Wadley Avenue. For tickets and showtimes, visit mctmidland.org or call the MCT box office at 570-4111.
Planetarium Director brings more opportunities for Spanish speakers to MSW. By J.C. Lewis. The Museum of the Southwest's Planetarium Director has started seeking out more opportunities for Spanish speakers to enjoy at the Museum and Planetarium. Valerie Rodriguez started as the Planetarium Director in 2019. Then the pandemic started, which prevented events from being held at the Blakemore Planetarium at the Museum of the Southwest. In July of 2019, the Planetarium added the science on a sphere permanent installation. Now I'm trying to get the general public here and involved with science, she said. A lot of the time, the Hispanic population don't know about what we can provide at the museum and planetarium. I'm trying to bridge that gap where more of the Latin population will stay and enjoy things that Midland has to offer. The planetarium has added a Spanish dome show called Los Mayas, Planación Cosmica, or the Mayan Cosmic Planners. She said she would like to add an all-Spanish introduction for dome shows, as well as add more dome shows with a Spanish-speaking option. Rodriguez is also a Spanish speaker and will give presentations for Science on the Sphere in Spanish with captions. An all-Spanish event might be in the future for the planetarium and museum, she added. The curator, Matthew Ward, has talked about creating Spanish content for some exhibition openings so we could have a night where everything is in Spanish, she said. We will have English options available all the time, so why not do a night featuring Spanish for Spanish speakers? In 2019, the museum hosted an event for Dia de los Muertos with the Midland Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. She said she would like to work with the Hispanic Chamber again. She said she has talked to many people who think the Museum of the Southwest only offers art options and that people don't know about the planetarium or the science education the museum also hosts. Rodriguez previously worked at Midland Academy Charter School, where she gained experience as an IT support specialist and educator. Throughout the pandemic, Rodriguez worked on making activities available online, and she helped Education Director and Melissa Rowland create art and science supply kits. Now we are working, collaborating with Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and the Boys and Girls Club to provide them with the art and science supply kits, she said. She also helped 3D print ventilator splitters for West Texas hospitals during the early part of the pandemic. Even though the museum was closed to the general public during most of the pandemic, Rodriguez said the outreach and education never stopped, and museum officials reached people through podcasts, learning materials, and virtual tours. New Executive Director Lori Wesley has reopened the museum and planetarium to the general public. The staff have started planning events for the summer. Notable, Rodriguez started her own vintage resale online shop in October. Eterno Vintage focuses on sustainable fashion choices, with selling vintage pieces she has found at thrift shops or estate sales. The shop has different types of clothing, including Y2K, 90s, 80s, 70s, 50s, and more. But Rodriguez said she is wanting to focus on luxury handbags. I'm trying to get into the luxury handbag resale business, but I also love thrifting and vintage clothes, she said. I'm very about reduce, reuse, and recycle. She has traveled to Italy, Chicago, Atlanta, and Denver to thrift for her store. She also gets resale items from online estate sales, where she can bid for an entire closet of clothing for about $5, she said. Reselling is so fun for me because it's all about the find, she said. I went to the thrift store last week and I found a 50s brown polka dot swing dress. I was probably there for 4 hours and left with two bags because it takes time to sift through clothes and know what you're looking at. She said she wants to provide vintage clothing and accessories for the modern woman. If people want to wear vintage clothing but also like modern styles, then my shop is for you, she said. I do some slight alterations like getting rid of shoulder pads and hemming certain items. Want to know more? For more information about the MSW, visit museumsw.org. For more information about Eterno Vintage, visit facebook.com/Eterno, E-T-R-N-O, Vintage. Hello, this is Cindy, continuing to read from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday. Temperatures to head toward 90s this weekend. The coolest period during a colder-than-average month comes to an end this weekend as high temperatures are expected to climb into the upper 80s and lower 90s, according to the National Weather Service. The NWS is reporting a warmer spring weekend with a high around 88 degrees Saturday and a high near 90 degrees Sunday. A normal high temperature around April 21st is 81 degrees. The warmer, above-average temperatures also will be a change from the cooler temperatures that go back to April 13th. The NWS reports on its website high temperatures ranging from 48 to 71 degrees during that period, and that with the exception of one day, the high temperatures have been in the 50s and lower 60s. The cooler period has dropped the average temperature this month to 3 degrees below normal. There is no chance of rain in the 7-day forecast.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, April 22nd. Bill Kirsch, age 72, of Midland, passed away on April 16th. A rosary will be held on Friday, April 23rd at 7 p.m. at St. Anne's Catholic Church. Services will later be held on Saturday, April 24th at 12:30 p.m. at St. Anne's Catholic Church, with a reception to celebrate his life to follow. Bill was born on August 7, 1948, to George and Georgia Kirsch in Fort Smith, Arkansas. He is survived by his sister Patsy, his children Ron Kirsch and wife Margaret, Jeff Kirsch and wife Lisa, Luke Kirsch and wife Bridget, and daughter Morgan Kirsch. He is preceded in death by his parents, as well as a brother, Kenneth, and sister, Shirley. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. James Melvin Butler was simply complex. A Texan born in Lake Charles, Louisiana, a fierce competitor with a gentle soul, a rabble-rousing outdoorsman who'd give you his last dollar if he thought you needed it, and then cook you dinner from scratch. James Melvin Butler is survived by his daughter Kristen Dale Butler and spouse Jason M. Reimer, siblings Gail Butler Berger and her husband Byron, Jane Butler Brawley and her husband Jimbo, his cousin Jim Tom Butler, and his wife Margaret. He is also survived by his nieces and nephews. At his final resting place, he joins his parents, Mel, and beloved mother, Ada Marie Butler, who crested 99 before passing away in 2017, peacefully, in their family home in Midland, Texas. Burial services will be held at 12 noon at Albany Cemetery, Albany, Texas, on April 24th, with a reception to follow on the Shackelford County Courthouse lawn at 225 South Main Street in Albany, Texas. All are encouraged to enjoy the outdoor events. In lieu of flowers, those wishing to give a memorial gift are encouraged to consider donating to the UT Southwestern Medical Center for Cancer Research online at engage.utsouthwestern.edu or Northeastern Oklahoma A&M College football at gogo.neo.edu. For more information, photos, and memories, please go to jamesmbutler.com. Michael L. Winkler, age 73, of Midland, died on Thursday, April 15th in Snyder. A private family memorial service will be held and is under the direction of Bell Cypress Seal Funeral Home. Mr. Winkler was born on February 20th, 1948, in Crosbyton, Texas, to Billy Pat and Nina Faye Gunn Winkler in Crosbyton, Texas. He graduated from Spur High School in 1966. He attended West Texas University, Canyon, Texas, on a football scholarship. After graduation, he moved to Midland. He worked as a quality control engineer for an oil field pump equipment company in the Midland-Odessa area. After 43 years of service, he retired. He loved spending time with his grandchildren and family. He also enjoyed going to the gym, jogging, and spending time at the shooting range. He is survived by two sons and daughters-in-law, Banya Winkler and wife Vanessa of Snyder, Bryce Winkler and wife Gianna of Snyder, brother Jimmy Winkler and wife Elaine of Rockwell, Texas, niece Mary Lay and husband Nick of Rockwell, nephew Ben Winkler of Tallahassee, Florida, as well as five grandchildren. Larry Don Kennedy, age 70, of Odessa, passed away Tuesday, April 20th in Odessa. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. April 23rd at American Heritage Funeral Home. Arrangements are by American Heritage Funeral of Midland. Mary McCutcheon Browning, age 55, of Forest City, North Carolina, passed away April 13th. A celebration of life will be held at 4 p.m. Monday, May 3rd, at Mid-Cities Church, Neely Campus in Midland. Survivors include her husband, Wesley Browning, and sons Jared Hutchins, Tyler Hutchins, and Andrew Browning. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, April 22nd, 2021. ODC lands $6 to $7 billion Nacero. The Odessa City Council recently voted to have the Odessa Development Corporation negotiate an agreement with Nacero Incorporated, which plans to build a $6.5 to $7 billion natural gas processing and production facility in Pinwheel. Photo by Jacob Ford, Odessa American. Councilman calls it biggest deal since El Paso products. By Federico Martinez, F-M-A-R-T-I-N-E-Z, at OAOA.com. Construction of a proposed $6.5 to $7 billion natural gas processing and production facility could begin by the end of the year. A project that will create at least 3,500 construction jobs and then 350 permanent jobs in Ector County, a Houston-based gas manufacturing company announced Wednesday. The Odessa Development Corporation negotiated the agreement with Nacero Incorporated, which plans to build the plant in Pinwheel. This is the biggest deal in Odessa since El Paso Products was built on the south side in 1956, Odessa City Councilman Steve Thompson said. This is a great opportunity for the community. The company plans to use a more environmentally friendly process to convert natural gas to methanol and methanol to gasoline, Nacero officials explained to City Council earlier this month during a work session. This is a unique, large-scale energy project that produces zero sulfur gasoline from natural gas using an environmentally superior process with a smaller carbon footprint compared to traditional gasoline production processes, they said during the presentation. Ector County is the ideal location for us, Nacero President and CEO Jay McKinnis said in a news release Wednesday. From a geographic and logistics standpoint, you can't beat it. We will be in a major new market and beneficial home for the natural gas that is currently flared in the Permian Basin. Our zero sulfur gasoline will reduce ground level ozone in cities across Texas and the Southwest, which is causing illness and limiting economic growth. Nacero's new manufacturing plant will be built in two phases, the news release detailed. Phase one will produce 70,000 barrels per day of gasoline component, which will be ready for blending. Phase two will increase that capacity to 100,000 barrels per day. Construction of the Pinwheel facility will employ a peak of 3,500 skilled workers during the 4 years of phase one construction. When fully operational, the plant will employ 350 full-time operators and maintenance personnel in three shifts, with a forecast annual salary of about $85,000 per person. Nacero has also pledged that its contractors will try to utilize local businesses during construction and operations. During construction, Nacero officials estimate that $263 million of combined equipment and services will be locally sourceable. The ODC recently offered a $20 million grant incentive to entice Nacero to come to Ector County. Wesley Burnett, Director of Economic Development for the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, said. Those funds will be paid out over 10 years if the company maintains compliance with all terms and conditions included in the negotiated contract. We have been working on this since COVID started in March 2020, Burnett said. There has been a lot of work by staff and volunteers who helped make this happen. Grow Odessa and the Odessa Chamber of Commerce were also very instrumental in this effort. As an additional incentive, Ector County, the Hospital District, Odessa College, and Ector County Independent School District have agreed to limit property values, which will provide Nacero a tax break, Burnett said. State Representative Brooks Landgraf said he is thrilled to welcome Nacero to West Texas. This world-class innovative company will use 100% American resources to make 100% American affordable gasoline for everyday American drivers. Nacero will diversify our economy and remind the world of Ector County's leadership in the oil and gas industry. Nacero's chief operating officer, Hal Booknight, said the company was impressed by the support shown by the ODC, Odessa's business leaders, taxing entities, and local residents. I'd always heard that Odessa's citizens have a can-do spirit, but I was really impressed by just how hard people were willing to work to help bring us to the area, Booknight said. Nacero's news release detailed that all of the plant's electricity will come from renewable sources, much of which will be produced on-site from solar panels co-located with the manufacturing facilities on Nacero's 2,600-acre site, which will sit on the Pinwheel land originally slated for the failed Future Gen and then Summit endeavors. The plant will be the first in the U.S. to make gasoline from natural gas, and the first in the world to do so with carbon capture and sequestration. Sequestered CO2 will be transported via an existing on-site pipeline. Odessa Development Corporation Chairman Tim Eggman, in a news release, this project proves once again that West Texas in general, and Odessa in particular, leads the nation in energy innovation and production. Burnett described Nacero as a perfect fit for Ector County. The regional economic impact of this single facility will be in the tens of billions of dollars. I thank my staff and all those who worked with them for their hard work in bringing this incredible opportunity here. Teacher Help, photo by Eli Hartman, Odessa American. Superintendent of Andrews ISD, Bobby Isom, speaks during a press conference announcing a partnership between XTO Energy, Andrews ISD, Odessa College, and Sol Ross State University to fund a new teacher's academy to address the teacher shortage in the Permian Basin Wednesday afternoon at Odessa College. Program aims to address educator shortage by Michael Bauer, MBAUER at OAOA.com. Helping to deal with the problem of the shortage of teachers in the Permian Basin, the Andrews Independent School District has since started the AISD Teachers Academy. Working in collaboration with Andrews ISD, Odessa College, and Sol Ross State University, XTO Energy is funding the new program in Andrews to combat the shortage of educators in the area. The program has been in the works for the last 2 years and was officially launched on Wednesday on the campus of Odessa College. The new Teachers Academy will allow Andrews ISD students to complete an associate degree through Odessa College while they are still attending high school. After obtaining the associate degree, students then take courses from Sol Ross State University while remaining in Andrews to earn their bachelor's degree. This no-cost program allows students to obtain a teaching certificate in 12 to 24 months after high school graduation and never have to leave home. We started this program 2 years ago. Krista Scott, Director of Advanced Academic at Andrews ISD, said, "It's a program where students can start working on their associates in high school and graduate with their associates and then be hired after their senior year with the district and become a paraprofessional and then go on to be a student at Sol Ross State. Once they finish their certification, the district will hire them and they agree to teach for at least 3 years. Scott added that the program is to help grow teachers within their community. They are familiar with the way we do school and help fulfill those roles, and it gives these students a chance to chase their dreams, but also help the students in our district," Scott said. XCO Energy is the catalyst for the Debt-Free Teachers Academy program. It is an affiliate of ExxonMobil Corporation. "We are looking forward to being a part of this program," Courtney Wardlaw, Public and Governor Affairs Advisor for XTO Energy, said. "It's so innovative with Andrews ISD, Sol Ross State, and Odessa College. This program shortens the amount of time students have to be in college in order to graduate and have their teaching certificate and get right into the workforce in their hometown. They never have to leave, and they're helping with the teaching shortage in the Permian Basin." Wardlaw said XTO Energy gave $50,000 over a couple of years to help be the catalyst to start the funding for the program. "We're always looking for innovative outside-the-box ideas that help students get in the workforce," Wardlaw said. "We have a shortage in our area. We need more and more people to get into all the industries out here, not just the oil and gas industries. One of the benefits is that the program provides reimbursed tuition costs for all past courses. This tuition is free for all the students," Wardlaw said. "They take their courses, and once they pass, their tuition is reimbursed to them. So they graduate tuition-free and with a job, and I can't think of a more innovative program for the teacher shortage in the Permian Basin." The innovation of the program is what drew XTO Energy to it. Students do not have to complete the entire 120 to 130 hours of a 4-year college degree in order to graduate from this program, Wardlaw said. Sol Ross, OC, and Andrews were innovative in pulling out those extra courses that are just electives that don't do anything to help these students become teachers. "It shortens the program and gets these students in front of other students in the teaching profession." Wardlaw said because students never have to leave Andrews that they save on room and board. "They're saving on transportation. They never have to leave home. They can stay in Andrews and start their teaching career there." Jonathan Fuentes, Executive Dean of Academic Partnerships at Odessa College, said that the program helps increase the pipeline of teachers to area school districts. "We're excited," Fuentes said. "We know there are lots of vacancies across the Permian Basin, so this partnership allows us to go in and work with students from Andrews and produce teachers at Andrews ISD. We're thankful for the partnership with Andrews, Sol Ross State, and XTO Energy that allows us to make this happen." Barbara Tucker, Dean of Education and Professional Studies at Sol Ross State University, said she is hopeful of growing the program to other areas. "We're just hoping to start with the teacher education program, but we're hoping to expand that into some of our other programs where we can offer business or criminal justice and multiple different areas that we hope we can get the students on board with," Tucker said. Andrews High School senior Corbin Scott, the son of Krista Scott, who will be graduating with his full associate's degree, started in the program in 2019. "My mom came to me in the spring and asked me if I wanted to do the program," Corbin said. "I was going to take a bunch of classes in the summer and school year, and I started that summer and it rolled from there." Corbin, however, will be moving on to complete his education at Baylor, but he aims to continue to teach math after he graduates from college. I love math, and I don't know what capacity I want to teach at, because I would love to teach anywhere from elementary to high school. So I think I'm going to teach math and then figure out everything else as time goes on, Corbin said. Other members of the program talked about how much it has helped them. I started the program in the spring of 2020, Odessa College sophomore Mackenzie Keese said. When I was first approached by Krista Scott if I was interested in this program, I was still in high school, and I wasn't fully sure if I wanted to be a teacher, but I was told that my school was going to be paid for, and that is a really awesome thing. Andrews ISD Superintendent Bobby Azam spoke highly of XTO Energy's support for the program. We cannot do this without XTO's support, Azam said. It took one meeting with them, and they loved it and wanted to do it. They want the Permian Basin to do well. They want teachers to stay here. They know our communities and towns will survive based on how good our education is. Photo by Eli Hartman, Odessa American. XTO Energy's Public and Government Affairs Advisor, Courtney Wardlaw, speaks during a press conference announcing a partnership between XTO Energy, Andrews ISD, Odessa College, and Sol Ross State University to fund a new teacher's academy to address the teacher shortage in the Permian Basin Wednesday afternoon at Odessa College. On the net, odessa.edu, oaoa.com. Ector County ISD trustees discussed across-the-board raises for the 2021-22 school year. During an update on budget preparations Tuesday night, the board heard district recommendations including a 3% across-the-board raise for all salaried employees, increasing the starting pay for teachers to $57,000 a year. The board recap said the average teacher salary in Texas is currently $47,218. A 4% across-the-board raise for all hourly employees. Increasing the district's minimum hourly wage from $11.21 per hour to $12 per hour. A one-time stipend of $750 paid to all who are employed by ECISD on the first day of school in August 2021. Superintendent Scott Murray noted that 4 years ago, 2017-18, ECISD's starting teacher salary was $44,500. In previous meetings, the school board expressed that one of its priorities is raises for staff members, particularly hourly employees, the recap said. Chief Financial Officer Deborah Otmer said funds for all general fund payroll come from the regular general fund operating budget. We project revenues based on state templates using various factors. Then we project our payroll expenditures by using staffing ratios and a position control system and various other tools, Otmer said in an email. We project our other expenditures as well, such as contracted services, supplies, and capital outlay. Once we have this data summarized, we project how much we can spend on payroll in total, and then we can break it down to various raise scenarios. Budgeting is an in-depth process, but it helps us know where we can spend our projected funds in the most effective manner, she said. In other business, trustees voted 7-0 to approve a memorandum of understanding with the West Texas Food Bank, allowing ECISD to donate leftover excess food items to the food bank during the school year. Trustees voted 7-0 to approve May 11, 2021, as the date the board will canvass the results of the May 1, 2021 election. Trustees voted 7-0 to approve the redesign plans for Noel Elementary, LBJ Elementary, and Wilson and Young Middle School. The plans were presented to the school board the previous week at the April 13th workshop. The district received a School Action Fund, SAF, grant to provide customized planning and support to improve teaching learning experiences for students at campuses that expressed interest in change. Leaders involved a broad spectrum of people: district leaders, school leaders, teachers, parents, students, and community representatives in developing plans for all three campuses. The stakeholders expressed their desire for a growth mindset among students and teachers, opportunities for parents to engage with the school, and strong relationships between teachers and parents. Personalized instruction, with a focus on blended learning, is a key component of this work. Blended learning is defined as a student having some control, in some manner, over his or her own learning. The plans also provide for social-emotional support of the whole child through mental health supports and after-school enrichment opportunities. Trustees voted 7-0 to approve a 2021-22 TEA pre-K waiver, allowing the district to hire non-certified teachers to serve three-year-old students who attend pre-K at the Odessa YMCA. The YMCA teachers will have a Texas Rising Star certification and will be coached by a certified ECISD curriculum specialist. Trustees received a report on instructional coaching for teacher support and development. A collaborative effort between the curriculum and instruction, leadership, talent development, and instructional technology departments is creating a more systemic and more targeted approach to developing teachers. The focus of this presentation was the redesigned description of the campus instructional coach and the curriculum and instruction specialist, two positions specifically positioned to support teachers through an observation feedback cycle. While each has a specific job description, together they will provide job-embedded professional development, support for individual teachers, specialized training, and will work collaboratively to develop the whole teacher, the recap said. Research shows instructional coaching has a greater impact on instruction than almost all school-based interventions, and the number one factor that influences student outcomes is the teacher, the recap said. On the net, tinyurl.com/7mxyfrra. 446 days. For 446 days, the city has fought a lawsuit brought by the Odessa American to enforce the state law that guarantees the public's right to see basic police records. Through January 6th, the city has spent $112,138.47 of taxpayers' dollars to fight releasing information on crime in Odessa. COVID-19 news by the numbers. After counting 16,911 total cases, 363 deaths. ECISD daily cases, 3 students, 0 staff. Midland County, 17,215 total cases, 266 deaths. Texas, 2,859,892 total cases, 49,672 deaths. U.S. cases, 31,602,676 total confirmed, and 565,613 deaths. Find out more and where to get the vaccine at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTP TUQ. Closing prices. Posted, $57.83. Futures, $61.35. Natural gas, $2.692. Benchmark U.S. fell $1.32 to $61.35 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, April 22, 2021. Page 8, Section A, Local News Roundup. Man charged with choking common law spouse. A 29-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly assaulted his common-law spouse by punching her, hitting her with a wooden spatula and a curtain holder, and choking her when he placed his knee on her neck. David Allen Solis was charged with assault by strangulation or suffocation with previous conviction, family violence, a second-degree felony. The reported assault happened at 7:51 p.m. February 21st, at the 87th apartment, located at 8640 Hunter Miller Way, an Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit stated. Officers reportedly made contact with the victim, identified as Asia Garcia, who stated she was assaulted by Solis. Garcia stated that Solis struck her on the left side of her face with a closed fist, pulled her by her hair, struck her with a wooden spatula and a curtain holder, and then threw her to the ground. Garcia continued to detail that while she was on the ground, that Solis placed his knee onto her neck, which impeded her ability to breathe, the affidavit stated. Garcia stated she felt as if she was close to losing consciousness and her vision began to go black. Garcia stated that Solis held his knee on her neck for 30 to 45 seconds. Officers reportedly saw a red mark on Garcia's left arm, which matched the shape of the spatula that was on the nearby counter. Officers also saw redness on Garcia's neck, which is consistent with pressure being applied. Garcia was also bleeding from her right ear, redness on the left side of her head near her temple, redness and early bruising on her arms, as well as defensive marks to her arms. A records check showed that Solis was previously convicted of assault causing bodily injury, family violence, a Class A misdemeanor, on January 18, 2019, in Ector County, the affidavit stated. Solis was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on April 18th, jail records show. He has one bond totaling $35,000 and was still in custody as of Tuesday afternoon. Teen charged with terrorizing ex-fiancé. An Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit detailed that a local man was arrested after he pushed his ex-fiancé out of a vehicle she was operating in a public roadway. Jose Delgado Villa, 18, was charged with terroristic threat, a Class A misdemeanor. The reported incident happened at 4:57 p.m., April 18th, near the intersection of Golder Avenue and 31st Street, the affidavit stated. Dispatch reportedly advised officers that there was a man and woman fighting inside a green Mazda Tribute while in the roadway. Officers arrived and saw Jasmine Casares sitting in the driver's seat, who stated her ex-fiancé took her cell phone and the keys to her vehicle. Casares identified her ex-fiancé as Delgado Villa, the affidavit stated. Casares said she and Delgado Villa had been arguing all day. Casares stated she saw Delgado Villa walking to her parents' house, stopped to pick him up, and she was taking him to his mother's house. While driving to Delgado Villa's mother's house, Casares reportedly told officers she and Delgado Villa were arguing about ending the wedding. Delgado Villa reportedly began to grab the steering wheel, began pushing on the gas pedal, and began to state that he was going to kill them by causing an accident while she had control of the vehicle. Cazares stated that Delgado Villa opened the driver's door and began to try and push her out the door while still driving on the roadway, the affidavit stated. Cazares was transported to Delgado Villa's mother's house due to living there. While at the residence, Delgado Villa reportedly showed up on his own and was questioned about the incident. Delgado Villa stated he and Cazares were arguing, and he did grab the steering wheel while Cazares was driving, just to pull her over to just talk. Delgado Villa was asked if he pushed Cazares out of the vehicle, and he stated that he did, but they were already parked. Delgado Villa was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. He had one bond totaling $2,500 and posted bail on Tuesday, jail records show. Man charged with choking, punching sister. A 40-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly choked and punched his sister. Paul Christopher Hicks was charged with assault by strangulation, family violence, a third-degree felony. He is also being held by the U.S. Marshals, jail records show. The reported assault happened at 5:18 p.m. April 18th in the 600 block of College Avenue, an Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit stated. Officers arrived at the scene, and the parties involved were reportedly identified as Joanne Kimberly Hicks and Paul Christopher Hicks. Joanne Hicks and Paul Hicks stated they are siblings. Joanne Hicks stated she and Paul Hicks had been in an argument that escalated to violence, the affidavit stated. Joanne Hicks claimed that she was intentionally pushed up against the wall by her throat. She also claimed that her brother then applied pressure on her neck with both hands, which impeded her breathing. Joanne Hicks also reportedly told officers that her brother punched her multiple times in the face with his fist. Joanne Hicks had a cut and visible swelling on her left eye, swelling on her right eye, a busted top lip, and a scratch on the right side of her neck. A witness at the scene stated he saw his uncle, Paul Hicks, choke slam his mother, Joanne Hicks, into the wall and then continued to punch her in the face, the affidavit detailed. Paul Christopher Hicks was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. He has one bond totaling $25,000 and was still in custody as of Tuesday afternoon, jail records show. OA News at OAOA.com.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.